You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, Tri-State. It's good to be back at Radio Rehab. I'm always so excited to meet people and talk to them and hear their sharings about this issue that faces our community and our families, substance abuse and addiction. Right before we came on, Alice had guests talking about marijuana, so I'm anxious to talk to my speaker and expert, Octavia, today about her experience with marijuana, just to add on to the last show that was on the pump. Good morning, Octavia.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Good to see you. Octavia is a woman in recovery here in Evansville, Indiana, and she just celebrated 1 year clean and sober on January 12th. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I guess I knew it would come if I worked hard and did what was suggested of me, and taking things one day at a time. But on that day, on January 12th, I was pretty excited and really elated, but still understanding that God has blessed me to get a year clean.
So you've been through all the seasons of the year now, the winter, the spring, the fall, the summer. So you've been through every season. You've got a year clean and sober. Odds are, if people are going to relapse, it's usually within the first year. So you made it a year.
Yeah.
But it's a day at a time, I know. So tell me, in a year, what now, looking back, was your biggest challenge?
I think my biggest challenge has been being able to remain employed. And that's honestly,
sure,
like my number one biggest challenge. And also, too, sometimes my thinking, you know. But then I have a network of friends that support me and also understand how my thinking works. So that pretty much is okay. But the major one is being able to remain employed. I've shared with the listeners that, you know, I do have a criminal history record.
And what kind of criminal history?
Oh.
Because, I mean, a lot of people have, like, driving on suspendeds, or what kind of crime?
I have felonies.
Okay.
I have drug felonies.
Possession?
Yeah.
Manufacturing?
Drug possession, theft, prostitution, and that type of thing. And so I'm just finding it hard to remain employed. It's not like I don't want to work. And when I did have a job, I showed up every day, was on time. But, you know, a recent job that I just had, they hired me. And then about a week and a half, my criminal history background check came back, and they had to let me go.
You're kidding me.
After I'd already been working and showing up at work and everything, yeah, they had to let me go. And it kind of took the wind out of my sails.
Sure.
You know, because the first thing I started to think was, well, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm being a productive member of society. I'm not a deviant.
Right.
I am remaining clean and sober.
Turned it around.
Turned it all just a 360.
Yeah, 360.
And so I'm just like, okay, Lord, now what? You know, what am I going to do now?
How discouraging.
It was discouraging.
Sure.
And then, too, I felt like, is this the way it's always going to be? Is anybody going to give me a shot? Because if not, I mean, the economy is already the way it is, so it's like extra rough for me. But if nobody's ever going to give me a shot based on my past and
Octavia,
the fact that I'm not living like that anymore, what am I going to do?
You bring up an incredibly important point for us to be thinking about as a community, and how we do take care of our own and our wounded. I think people probably look at your criminal record and it scares them. They're like, do we want somebody with all these felonies in our workforce, where there's someone that just lost their job from a layoff?
Right.
I can see where they're coming from.
I can too, honestly. I can see it too. But
I think we need to think about what you're talking about too. You're competent. You're confident. I noticed you were a little down today.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing you so up, and you got a year clean and sober. Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I've been feeling like this since they told me.
Sure.
And it's just been a couple of days. And I've been trying to put on a brave face and a good front.
Sure.
You know, because I got other people that are around me that, you know, maybe gauge my attitude and things like that. So I want to, you know, try to remain as upbeat and as positive as I can.
Be a good role model.
Yeah, sure. Try to be a good role
model. And you are.
But the fact of the matter is,
the chips are against you.
My thing is, my number one thing is being able to provide for myself.
Sure.
I mean, I still live in Roop's house, but there's going to come a point in time when I'm going to have to leave there.
And hopefully soon.
Yeah. And if I can't take care of myself.
That's scary.
It's very scary. It's really, really scary, because that's always been one of my fears, is not being able to provide for myself and my family. Well, my kids are grown now, so now it's just me.
And that's enough.
You know?
You need money.
I need money.
Yeah.
So,
jeez.
And I don't want to go back to my old way of living and my old way of thinking to provide for myself. So I'm willing to get out and beat the streets and look for a job. But I need somebody to cut me a break.
Because you had worked at McDonald's when I met you.
Yeah.
That is hard work.
Yeah, it is.
There's a special place in heaven for you guys that do fast food. Wow. That is hard work.
I know a few people that are working in fast food, and it is hard work, but they're really good people, and they're
well, and you're a good worker.
Yeah.
You're a good worker, and here you are, employable, mm-hmm. probably more honest and decent today than a lot of folks that don't have an addiction even, and
exactly,
you can't even get a break.
Yeah.
So how do you put your hands around that? How have you resolved that for yourself? I mean, I can tell you're down, but
I mean, I guess I'm thinking of it in terms of I guess it's the wreckage of my past coming back up.
Or never left. A year isn't that long.
It is not that long.
But it's a hell of a landmark in sobriety.
Exactly. For people like us, it is a wonderful landmark. So I'm trying to put a positive spin on it, but also, too, there's still the fearfulness and the worry, you know.
What can we do? What do you think we could do? How can we?
Well,
I mean, there's so many of us in the workforce now proving recovering people are hard workers and good workers.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. But well, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure there's not too many businesses or companies that don't know an employee, an ex-employee that has been recovering or has had problems with drugs or alcohol and has probably seen their turnaround.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And so I guess what I would say is, give those people a chance. I mean, I think something needs to start being done for the people who have who have gone through what I've gone through and have changed and are doing positive things. Like, you know, I'm in college now.
I started IB Tech this semester.
So,
that's great.
Give us a chance. Sit down and actually listen to us. Don't just look at that piece of paper. Or that piece of paper that comes back from another company that you've hired out to do the background check. I mean, if I already told you that I have, you know, felonies, how about you sit down and talk to me? But now it's gotten so political that, well, we have to send it off. And so they send it off and they get it back. Well, I'm sorry, but we can't hire you or we can't keep you. I don't understand that, because if you've talked to me.
Yeah, and see I'm a hard worker.
And not only that, I have some recommendations from some other people who have dealt with me for the last 8-9 months to a year. They
right.
can tell you the same thing. Give me a chance.
Well, and it's not like you're a violent criminal.
I'm not a violent criminal. I don't have any violent
bone
violence.
In your body.
Yeah.
And these are all related to your addiction.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. That is discouraging, and I think a lot of recovering people do have to deal with that in their recovery early on. They're kind of, nobody wants some damaged goods.
Yeah, yeah. And but I'm no more damaged than the other person that's working next to you who doesn't have a felony, but they're taking home your copier paper every single day for their computer.
Sure.
I'm no more damaging than that.
You know? Right, but so. The microscope's on you.
Exactly.
So maybe you being in school. Mm-hmm. What's your major?
Human services.
Well, there you go.
Right now it's with a substance abuse minor, but I don't know. I may change that to...
You're already an expert in that one.
I know. So I may change it to some child welfare.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, because it's really
the system
sad
needs
what I'm
you.
Hearing is happening to a lot of these babies.
From moms that are addicted or
no child abuse.
Oh yeah.
The child abuse aspect.
Do you think a lot of that's addiction driven too?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean addiction is so severe and it will have you doing just about anything that it's possible
to neglect your kids.
It's possible to neglect your kids like
and
that,
abuse them. So, yeah. Well, you're getting in the field at the right time.
Yeah, and from what I understand, there's going to be plenty of jobs by the time I graduate. With the recession being the way it is, there's going to be a lot more human services agency opening up and doing some more hiring. So I'll be able to get in and get a pretty decent job then. And I hope that my criminal history background check won't be a problem. I'm hoping that it'll be a help.
Yeah,
this person
there you
has
go.
Got some life experiences.
Yes.
They also have a degree. So here you go. They can fit well in this kind of position. So.
Definitely with your experience and your education and the resources you're meeting as a result of being clean and sober, all of that will definitely connect the dots for you. But I know it's discouraging right now.
Yeah, it is pretty discouraging. But I'm keeping the faith because no matter what, I know that God has not brought me this far to hang me out to dry.
Mm-mm.
I know he hasn't.
Mm-mm.
So this is just something I'm going to have to go through. There's a lesson I'm supposed to be learning in all of this. And there's something positive I'm supposed to be doing. And so I just pray that I learn the lesson and I'm able to turn it around and do what it is I'm supposed to do that he would have me to do.
Mm. So. What a great example of faith. Well, we're going to take a few minute break here. Tri-State, if you want to call and ask Octavia any questions, nothing's below the belt on Radio Rehab, or make comments if you have suggestions or advice. We would love to hear from you. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
Now you can get the furniture, appliances, electronics, and computers you really want and leave your money at home. Only with Rent-A-Center's Free Until February 7th event. It's brand name merchandise with no credit checks, no credit needed, and no money down. So forget your wallet and forget your purse. But don't forget, it's free until February 7th. Only at Rent-A-Center. We make it easy to make it your own. This is a rental purchase transaction. Offer ends February 7th, 2009. Excludes TVs 37 inches or larger. See store for details.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We're glad to be back. Octavia and I were talking about how after you have a year clean and sober from a terrible crack cocaine addiction and lots of felonies on your record, you pick yourself back up and get on with life, and she's definitely had to face some challenges recently. Thanks, Octavia, for coming and being open and honest on the show for us to meet you and hear about your experiences. I appreciate that, and I know everyone else does too.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's probably hard to talk sometimes about your stuff, but
yeah, sometimes it is, and I don't know why that is, but yeah.
It's a part of us we don't really
want to share.
Yeah, like coming out of the hiding. Yeah,
okay.
It's easy in the rooms,
of course. Yeah,
but out here it's a different one. We were talking about money on the break. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about when you're recovering from an addiction, whether it's pot, pills, powders, whatever, you have a lot of psychological and spiritual, emotional, physical changes. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talks about the financial part of it. Okay. Do you think that's something in recovery that we need to talk about to people that are trying to get clean and sober about their financial situation? It's such a private issue.
Yeah, it is. It's rather personal and all that type of stuff. But yeah, I think it is something important, because even in an addiction, you know, I had more money in addiction than I mm-hmm. do in recovery, you know.
Sure.
It wasn't nothing to get hold to $300-$500 a day.
Phew.
Nothing.
Walking around with several hundred in your pocket.
Exactly.
But having to sell yourself to do
it. Exactly. Having to do that, or, you know, rip people off and that type of thing. And then when you come into recovery, you have to wait 2 weeks for a paycheck, or, you know, taxes are taken out and you have other bills and responsibilities
Did anybody talk to you about that?
No, no one talked to me about it, because I knew.
That is so different, though, to go from 500 a day to 200 a week.
But here's I think for me the main difference is the way that I felt waiting for the 2 weeks to get a honest paycheck, mm-hmm. and having to pay my bills, whereas getting $300, $405 in an hour, that made me feel like crap, and that drove me further into my addiction. So one outweighs the other. They don't even compare, honestly.
Wow.
They don't really compare, because one makes me feel worse each and every time I do it. The other, I just got to hold on to enough money so I can make it through until I get paid the next time, you know.
So. Just in that attitude. So do you think in early recovery for some people where money was readily available to them, whether they were dealing or prostituting or whatever, and then suddenly coming in and scraping, do you think that change is a big deal for people to have to
I think it
deal
is
with?
I think that it is a big deal, which is why it's important to be around a supportive network of people, mm-hmm. so that when you start to go through that change and you start to think that maybe you'll just slide back into that old lifestyle, that get money lifestyle, then you got some good people in your life to say, you know where that's going to lead you. You're going to hit that brick wall 100 miles an hour.
Can that be an addiction too?
Of course.
Money.
Oh, yeah. I believe that with my whole entire heart. The drug dealers that are around here in Evansville, I believe they're addicted to money.
The ones especially that don't use it,
that
are just profiting.
They don't use it, they're just profiting, mm-hmm. and that's all they're doing is just selling for a profit and buying cars and clothes. And yeah, they're addicted to the money, and they're addicted to the lifestyle, the control of the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It's a whole other world, isn't it?
Yeah.
The substance.
Yeah.
So when you've been down the past few weeks, and you don't have to answer any of these questions if you don't feel comfortable doing that, and I don't mean to probe, but in the past couple weeks when you just got shot down from this job because mm-hmm. they got your criminal record, mm-hmm. did you have thoughts about going back to prostitution?
No, I didn't have thoughts about going back to prostitution, but the thought of using... Oh yeah, it's like, well, you know what? It's not going to work out anyway. You might as well just go out and just go buy some crack, go get high, and you know,
like screw it.
Yeah, chuck it all, because that's the self pity, poor me, was like, well, they don't care about me, you know, so why should I keep on caring?
Society's going to keep kicking me down
anyway.
But, so you had those thoughts.
Oh yeah, those thoughts came, and that's why, you know, that's why I say my thinking is really, mm-hmm. really out of whack. But that's where I got some positive people in my life to say,
wow.
What's it going to change? It's not going to change.
What would you
anything.
Have done if you hadn't have had Ruth's house or your support system? You think you'd have relapsed?
I probably would have.
I think a lot of our newcomers that are in their new stages, mm-hmm. when they get kicked down enough,
yeah.
before they have the support you have, they're right. back out in the streets.
They go back out. I mean, because it's really something, you know, and I know this is something that non-addict, non-alcoholic people do every day. It's really something when we get up and we be responsible and mm-hmm. we go and do what it is we're supposed to do. And then
it's a big deal.
Told by the establishment that, I'm sorry, you're out of a job. You know, that's a blow.
Do you think that's more a blow than somebody that's never had an addiction but worked like in the auto industry all their life and got laid off?
No.
You think it's a different kind of blow?
I think the people are different.
Sure, that's true.
Good point. I can't say that mm-hmm. you know the blow is different, because to take a person's livelihood away from them is a blow in and of itself.
You're just trying to create a new livelihood.
That's all I'm trying to do. Yeah. So I'm not going to say which is which. I just know that when you take a person's livelihood away, the way and means that they take care of themselves and their families, and not giving them a shot because of some decisions that they made in their past, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
That's just rough. So, you know, the people that are getting laid off, even though it's not as much as what they made, they get unemployment. Mm-hmm. There's no unemployment for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not making any kind of difference or anything else like that.
Absolutely.
But that's just the fact of the matter.
How can we as a community of non-recovering people and recovering people be helpful to that issue? We have changed legislation about criminal checks, I guess.
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. But also, too, I mean, if you own your own business and someone comes in and you notice that, you know, they put a check in the yes box of
convicted of a felon,
don't just automatically throw that away, or don't just automatically think in your head that this is someone that's going to rob you blind.
Mm-hmm.
How about you sit down and listen to that person and ask them some questions? Get some references and actually call those references instead of looking at the application, seeing that, oh, they've got 4 felonies. We're not even going to consider this person. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, give that person a chance, because you never know. That could be that person that could help someone else in your company or your business that's alcoholic, and you know it, you know, because of all the absences or something they're having. That could be that person that could help that person.
You know what would be cool? If they had like a misdemeanor category, a felony category, and then a drug or alcohol category, and didn't even put it in the same category as violent crimes.
Yeah, but they all link together, and then once they see it, they don't want to talk about it.
That's
true. Want to talk to you.
So when you're asked on an application, if you've ever been convicted of a felony, you mark that.
Oh, yeah. I'm honest about it.
Yeah.
Because I was told early on it's best to be honest, because any more, a business can fire you.
And make you pay it back if you lied.
At any time, for any reason. So you may as well just go ahead and tell the truth. And I want to be honest about it, because it makes me feel better about myself.
Sure.
And that gives them an opportunity, if they want to ask me any questions, because I'm going to tell you the truth, you know. I don't know. So.
Well, you bring a very good point that we need to think about giving each other chances.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to create a new life. You're a hard worker. You've got a year recovery.
I do.
And maybe you're going to be one of the force for good that'll help things change in the way people see us.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do. And
you're doing it.
It's going
to
work out.
Do not be discouraged. What is it? Do not be discouraged. No one among us is able to maintain
anything like
perfect adherence to these principles, but you're working on it. So before we head off, Octavia, what do you think about the whole marijuana issue? I just got to throw that out. Alice had such a great show about marijuana.
Well, what I can personally say for myself was marijuana was the first drug I ever tried.
And all the kids I worked with over the years, pot was their thing. They loved marijuana. Some of them never even touched alcohol or would even want to.
Yeah. Marijuana was the first drug I ever chose. And so a long time ago when I heard that marijuana was the gateway drug, the bell went off in my head. It was like, oh, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess I'm still of the adage that marijuana is a gateway drug, because that was the first thing that I ever put into my body that altered my mood and my state.
Yeah.
And from there, I like that feeling.
The floodgates opened.
Oh, yeah. It opened. And it opened its way up for anything else, like alcohol and pills,
sure,
crack cocaine. So it's where it started.
Well,
I have to say this also, that I believe that I was genetically predisposed.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. You had some risk factors to begin with. There are some people that can smoke marijuana and never go any further than that.
I know people like that right now.
Wow.
And bless their heart.
Yeah, I don't know too many of them, but I do know some too. So one size doesn't fit all, huh?
Yeah, you're right. So.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing. I hope people listening, and I'm listening, you're listening, understand that we deserve to give peace a chance, give Octavia a chance, give others a chance if they've had nonviolent offenses and felonies in their past. Maybe someday you'll get rid of those on your record completely.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Congratulations. The number one most important thing is you're clean and sober and sane.
And sane. And I'm getting saner every single day.
That's right.
So that's a blessing. That's something to smile about today.
Sure is.
But yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on Tri-State. Thank you again for letting us share with you. And hopefully you'll call if you have questions, comments, and share with us. You'll be able to hear Octavia on LisaSifeCares.net. Go to podcast and you'll be able to hear her on the World Wide Web. Thanks for listening. Glad you're with us. And don't forget, between now and next week, do the next right thing.